curious about general managers and when you actually take vacation and how long do you take? When does Doug Wilson go bye-bye for the summer?
Probably around August. I mean, right now we've got 43 players here in for our development camp. We've had a little bit more time off this offseason than we have in the last 10 or 11 years, so we've tried to use it well, but I'm looking forward to August.
Yeah, it's been a busy little offseason for you so far. Let's start off with the coach, because I don't think we've spoken about the coach with you, and I haven't read too much from you about Pete DeBoer. What is it about Pete DeBoer that attracted you to him to be the next coach of the San Jose Sharks?
Well, 7 years ago when I went through the coaching search, Peter was on the radar then. He was one of our finalists then. The only thing he didn't have at that time was NHL experience. And from that point on, in the last 7 years, he went to Florida, and then he went to New Jersey. And then we decided that we needed to make a change, and it was just time. Peter was a guy that came in that was fit a lot of things that we were looking for, very current with how the game is being played, very bright guy. No fear in making really tough decisions, and he came in, and he's very familiar with a lot of our players. Larry Robinson, who's on our staff, spoke extremely highly of Peter, and it was just a decision that seemed to make sense and fit for us.
And he would have coached against players on your team like Brent Burns in the OHL, Logan Couture as well, the Ottawa 67, so there's familiarity with those players going back to junior. Speaking of junior, if I can just dovetail with the draft here, and I just got the press release moments ago. Doug, congratulations on signing Timo Meier, your first-round draft pick, to his entry-level contract. He goes in the first, and then you stay in the queue and select Jeremy Waugh, the defenseman, nice skater, nice little defenseman, offensive force from the QMJHL as well. What did you see in your first two picks this year that really turned your head, Timo Meier and Jeremy Waugh?
Well, first of all, coming into this draft, we knew it was a really important year for us, and we ended up walking away from the draft with 10 players this year. We'd been accumulating picks the last couple of years, and we like Timo a lot, the size, the strength, the way he plays the game. He goes to the net. He's got a man's body already, but he can play on the inside, but he also has got a really good hockey sense that can play with good players and create offensive there. He plays in all three zones. We really liked him, so we felt picking in the top 10, we'd get a player like him. The guy that really excited us that we made a big move on the second day to move up and get Jeremy is we were trying to move up in the first round in about the 20 to 25 range, and we would have taken Jeremy in that place. When it fell that he was available on the second day, we moved a couple of picks to get the 31 spot. So we feel like we walked away with two first-round picks in these two guys, and it really made our draft for us.
Are you finding, you know, just a little bit more on Timo Meier, are you finding now that, you know, Swiss hockey has sort of come of age? And if so, why has it taken so long? Hockey's been, you know, a great sport in Switzerland for decades.
Well, I think they've committed to really high-end coaches. They've got a really good program in place. I think you're referring to Mirko Mueller, our first-round pick from past years. We think he's going to be a stud. I mean, he's now 6'3", 210. And he is he's ready to be, I think, a factor on our team. So I think their program, they've got good people that are running it. They've had some players that are coming over here and having success. So it just seems to be that cycle that they're in.
So we talked a lot about young players, which brings us back to a theme with the San Jose Sharks and how it's maybe changed. Because last offseason, you're talking about a rebuild. And this offseason, it seems more like we're going for a little bit, a Joel Ward, a Paul Martin. Where are the Sharks now? Are we still in sort of a rebuildy thing, or are we more in a going for the cuppy thing right now?
Well, we were crystal clear last summer exactly what we said we were going to do. We used the exact same terminology that the Detroit Red Wings used. We expected to be able to rebuild and compete at the same time. We did the exact same thing in 2003. So we last year after the trade deadline, our team was probably the youngest team in the league. It was a 26.3 average on March 2nd playing against Montreal. So we integrated some younger guys into the team. But make no mistake about it, we expect to make the playoffs and compete every year. So coming into this year, we had some cap space. We added these 10 players that really positions us well for the future. But we expect to compete to make the playoffs and compete to try and compete for the Stanley Cup. So we had cap space, and we were looking for, you know, three real important pieces for us. We wanted to secure a number one goalie who could fit for now and for the future, and that's Martin Jones. He's 25. We know this player well. He's big, competitive, 6'4". we wanted to find a defenseman that would complement, the Burns, Vlasic, Braun, Dillon, and Mueller. Hopefully a guy that could actually play with Brent Burns and was a left-shot guy. Paul Martin was at the top of the list on that. He'd played all his years with Chris Letang, played in a winning environment, and played with good players. A lot of our players and our coaching staff knew him well. And then we were looking to get a really quality, versatile veteran who hadn't played a lot of games in the league, and that's Joel Ward. He's only played 517 games in this league. Big, physical, can skate. Pete DeBoer in particular loves this player. So we think those guys help us both for now, but they also are really good guys that enhance the growth of our younger players that we've added. So our rebuild was a very simple one, is we want to integrate younger players like Mueller, Hurdle, Nieto, et cetera. But also, while we have the Marlows, the Thorntons, the Burns, the Pavelskis, the Couturs, all these guys in their prime, we expect to compete to win every year. So if there's any confusion, I'm not sure where that came from, because our clarity was the exact same words that Detroit used, and that was our plan. It was a transition year, and now we go forward.
Let's back up to Martin Jones, the netminder, because I believe reading somewhere you said, you know, he's sort of been on your radar for a couple of years, Doug, and you know, you go back to the history of the San Jose Sharks and the Los Angeles Kings. I think that the only time these two teams have ever made a trade was a couple of fourth-round picks of the draft back in 2008. These two teams don't trade, as you well know, amongst one another. How did the Jones deal come together, knowing that I'm guessing L.A. and San Jose aren't going to get together to do a trade anytime soon?
I think you're probably accurate. I think they moved him to Boston, and when he moved to Boston, I think we looked at an opportunity. We were fairly aggressive with our offer at the draft. They thought we were going to conclude it at the draft. Martin Jones was the guy that we wanted. His age, his history, his junior coach is a guy that we know very well. He played a lot of hockey against our farm team in Worcester when he was with Manchester. Our goalie coaching people loved his style and his size, and felt that he was ready at this age to break through and compete with Alex Stalock and Troy Grosnick that we have here. But we think he's the real deal. So he was the guy that we had targeted. Trying to get him through making a very fair offer to Boston was crucial. Would we be very disappointed sitting here today without him? Yeah, the answer would have been yes.
Paul Martin is a defenseman I like a lot, and I think a defenseman that maybe didn't get as much recognition as he deserved in Pittsburgh because of the contract he signed. Was that another Larry Robinson input situation? I know he had him in Jersey for a bit too. And what did you like about Martin?
Well, we were really inclusive with all our staff. Peter liked him a lot. Peter had just had Brent Burns over in the World Championships, where Burnsy was the most valuable defenseman over there playing with Dan Hamhuis. So we were looking for a guy that's got great hockey sense, that can skate, uses a stick, is a really good, easy partner to play with. And Paul really came to the top of the list that he would fit perfect for Burnsy. So both Larry and Peter were very, very involved in that. A lot of our players knew Paul. Joe Pavelski's played with him a lot. Brent Burns knew him. Alex Stalock, Justin Braun. So he's a guy that, again, hasn't played a lot of games in this league. He's only played 27 more games than Mark Edward Vlasic has. So there's a lot of tread still left on the tire. Really smart player. And we've got a pretty young defense, so he slides in and complements the group extremely well.
Doug, I live in Stouffville, as you well know, a little bit north of the city of Toronto. Just a little bit north of me is a town you well know as well, called Keswick, Ontario. Chris Cherney is from there not that long ago, last week, as a matter of fact, was carrying the Pan Am torch through Keswick. 14 points in his last 18 games. How do you see, or what's the expectation for Chris Cherney next year?
Well, Chris to us is a really important player. When he was with London, we watched him closely, how he played the game. Plays in all zones, a really smart player. We brought him up at the beginning of the year last year from Worcester, and he played, 15, 20 games, played really well, didn't get an awful lot of minutes. We sent him back down to Worcester. He played a lot of minutes. He kind of lit it up down there, and he came up later in the year a much more developed player. Played extremely well. Again, really good hockey sense. When you have him playing on a third or fourth line, you often get mismatches against the other team. So he's here at our development camp. He took a big step last year. He's training with Gary Roberts. He's added even more strength to him. So he's an important player for us for now and the future. He's going to have to compete to make the team in September, but if he comes in and plays the way he did at the end of last year, that should take care of that.
Doug, you've got over $25 million in cap space dedicated to four forwards right now, and Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, Logan Couture, and Joe Pavelski. Is it safe to say that those four guys are foundational for this season, or is there still a possibility that you could move one to create a bit more flexibility for the team?
No, I mean, we like where our team is at. We got a great combination of veterans, younger core veterans, you know, and some young guys that we need to step up. So we like the mix where it is. I think our cap space is spread out pretty well, where we have core guys under longer-term contracts. We have some veterans under shorter term. We have some younger guys still on entry-level deals, some guys that did some bridge deals. So our players have really helped us in how we've structured our contracts, and you know, we appreciate that. It gave us the room and ability to add the Jones and Martin and Ward. So our players are our partners when we're trying to, you know, build our team. And all I can say is I've talked to every one of our players in the last 7-8 days, and they're all excited. Can't wait to get back here and have a bounce back year.
Doug, last one here, and you would be the most authoritative person to talk about this. You're there as a general manager now. You were there as a player in the first game with the San Jose Sharks. How have you seen, because we're going to see Austin Matthews probably go first overall next season. He's from Phoenix, so that grassroots program has produced an elite-level player. How have you seen hockey at the grassroots level develop in San Jose since you were, a player and now a GM?
It's been incredible, and a lot of the credit goes to Mr. Gund, who first brought this team out here, building rinks. The youth hockey program has created kids that have come through that system and played. There's been first-round picks that have been California-based. To see the outdoor game this past year and the attendance and support to that, our rink here in San Jose is, I think, the largest in the United States west of the Mississippi, so youth hockey is flourishing. And take a look at Anaheim and L.A., what they've done with their youth programs. Hockey is the real deal out here. The fan bases have been tremendously supportive. They expect to have good teams every year. But hockey, the growth that not only our fans but our ownership and all the kids, it's at a great place, and it's only going to get stronger going forward.
And
just to finish on that is with our AHL Pacific Division this year, where we have five teams in California, it's a huge advantage now for us to have our players in our own footprint. But having five AHL teams out here, too, is another indicator of the growth of hockey in California.
Yeah. Last one for me. You know, you obviously have your ear to the ground on a lot of this stuff in the offseason for other GMs. A lot of people have been selling this offseason as something different than what we've seen before with regard to the potential for offer sheets really driving a lot of the movement that we've seen. Is that sort of just, you know, I mean, is that an uninformed observation from the outside? Is that actually what you've seen happen this offseason? Have the dynamics changed on offer sheets at all?
Well, I mean, I think offer sheets have been around for a while. There's been 34 or 35 of them. We did one a few years ago. It's a mechanism that's in the collective bargaining agreement. I think you'd have to ask those teams that felt they might have been in a position that they felt they were susceptible to that, if that impacted their decisions. You know, we identified a player that we wanted in Martin Jones, and we offered fair value, and I think Don Sweeney did an excellent job getting fair value. But would we have explored other ways of acquiring him? Potentially. You know, we look at players that we want, and whatever's within the rules, if we could go acquire the player that makes us a better team, we would consider that, as we have done that in the past.
Great stuff. Doug Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. Have a
Thanks,
good,
Doug.
Restful summer, sir, because you've had a busy one so far.
Okay, I'll try. But thanks, guys, for taking the time today.